You are listening to a sermon by Catherine Cooper, recorded on Sunday, May 22, 2022, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
So good to see everyone. The texts we heard this morning are hopeful ones, which isn't always the case. Remember binge reading all of Deuteronomy in order to speak on one short passage a number of years ago, and that was not easy going. Hopeful is a good thing, and I am certainly happy to lean into that. But I'm also going to admit that it can be hard to tie these scriptures to our everyday lives. To do so, I'm going to be sharing a few stories and songs. As some of you may know, one of the bizarre aspects of my current position with the National Park Service is helping with our podcast. This has given me an opportunity to talk to people that I might never otherwise have spoken with, to reach out and learn a little bit of their stories. When reading today's scriptures, I found that I was hearing echoes of those conversations, and I think that they can help us connect a bit better with the scriptures. We'll see if you're convinced of this in the next 10 or so minutes. So the particular line from Psalm 67 that created a number of these echoes for me is the phrase, quote, "that your way may be known upon earth." Now, I will very frankly admit, I've given up on knowing exactly what my path on this earth is or where it's going, and I have to somehow trust that, in retrospect, it will become apparent to me. I did have a plan at one point, many of you may know this. I knew I was going to do a PhD from a very young age. I wanted the t-shirt. And then I would get a job, probably teaching, doing research, possibly something in forensics. So though this isn't the same story, the lyrics written by Robert Castleman rather do echo some of it. I left home when I was 17. I just grew tired of falling down. And I'm sure I was told the allure of the road would be all I found. And all the answers that I started with turned out questions in the end. So the years roll on by, and just like the sky, the road never ends. I certainly have more questions now than I did at 18 when I left home, when I graduated from college and moved to Vancouver, when I completed that PhD and then moved home again with no job. Now I ask questions and make plans, knowing that they will likely change. I can recognize serendipity within the last few years and the way people have influenced me. I attempt to trust that I am going in the right direction, that my choices, individual and cumulative, are leading me where I need to go, even if it is not where I expect, even if it is Natchitoches, Louisiana. That there will be lanterns put to my feet, and I will both become a better person and do what is needed of me. That even if I can't see exactly where I'm going, I will somehow be walking in God's path and making a joyful noise along the way. It's a bit like that passage that we heard in Acts this morning. Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia asking, quote, "Come over to Macedonia and help us," unquote. But getting there was not necessarily a straight line. The scriptures list a whole bunch of cities that they stopped in along the way. And I also noticed that they didn't know exactly where in Macedonia they were going. But good things, important things on a human scale, happened along the journey. We don't even meet the man in the vision by the end of the passage. Knowing that we aren't alone in going on twisting journeys can be very reassuring. One of the interviews I did recently was with the editors of a volume of autobiographical chapters written by female archaeologists. And the book was titled With Grit and Determination. Winding career paths was one of the themes, as was the importance of serendipity, mentorship, and the willingness to take a chance. Though the editors had worked to showcase women who are now established in the field, from generations that blazed the path for us to follow, both of the editors mentioned how amazing it was that not only did these women share their own stories, but that so many others, myself included, have crawled out of the woodwork to say how much it meant to them to read that they weren't alone in scrabbling to make a career, of having to change trajectory, of having to rely on that helping hand to help them up and through. God's way on earth may not be a straight one. It may be crooked. It may take us through cities whose names we don't know or can't pronounce. We may need a hand to help us along the way. These women who wrote down their personal journeys for the book, who shared them, also expressed a sincerity and vulnerability that was absolutely astonishing to me. That book revealed hardships and challenges, and it will mean that complete strangers that they have never met will know something personal about them. It was certainly the case for me. I realized when reading the book that I had actually met one of these women only a week before. And when reading her story, I wish I had read it first so I could have asked her better questions and shared my admiration of what she had accomplished. So this leads me to ask, who do we tell our stories for? Why do we tell them? I would posit that they are a gift. These women who were so generous and vulnerable as to share their journeys in such a public way certainly created something incredibly special. Podcasts are not what I would call oral histories. They're too short, only about 10 to 15 minutes. I do far too much editing, and it's usually on one topic. But a recent podcast that I recorded did actually problematize and challenge my perception of how oral history stories become record, why they are taken in, and how they are used. Sophie started the Louisiana Trans Oral History Project, or LATOPE, during the pandemic, and something that they said struck me. This project is not and never has been about history or posterity, even though Sophie's day job is working for an archive. No, these are people telling stories for themselves, for the Louisiana trans community, as a method of survival, of fighting loneliness and isolation during the pandemic, of providing examples to each other that no one trans in Louisiana is alone, that there are others to reach out to, and that they should. So listening to Sophie brought to mind the lyrics written by Brandi Carlile. All of these lines across my face tell you the story of who I am. So many stories of where I've been and how I got to where I am. Oh, but these stories don't mean anything if you've got no one to tell them to. It's true, I was made for you. What we learn as we walk this path is important, but what is equally important is how we share it, because we are also lights for each other. And this is a familiar refrain I know you've heard from me many times before, but we are reflections of the Holy Spirit. In the passage from John, Jesus says, quote, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." We are the embodiment of the Word to each other. So our words our stories and how we use them matter. Earlier this month, I spoke with an elder of the Chinese community in the United States. I had approached her as a board member of the Mississippi Delta Chinese Heritage Museum in Delta, in Cleveland, Mississippi, at Delta University. But as I listened to her speak, I realized that asking such specific questions about her story erased so much else that she had accomplished. When she was talking about why she was involved with this particular museum, with the Chinese American Citizens Alliance, with museums in her current home of Albuquerque, New Mexico, she said something that struck me as both incredibly simple, but heartbreakingly eloquent. Quote, "We have to understand that each of us have a history, and that deserves respect. But we also need to respect everybody else's history and work together to make this a better country." This echoes one of the lines from the Revelation passage. Quote, "People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations," unquote. People who are reflecting the Holy Spirit, God's glory which lights the temple and can improve the nation. Each small step we make, each story we share, can change the mind of one person and may change the mind of the person standing next to them. This is both a giving and receiving, because we are all members of this planet and humanity. These lyrics were written by Christine Kane. "I came to this city before the coffee houses, before the tattoo palace, before I could breathe. And several angels walked me right through the darkest alleys till I could tell what's holy outside a cathedral." So to end, I will ask, who are the earthly angels who have walked beside you, who have reflected the Holy Spirit in your lives? Who has provided light in your darkest alleys? The ones that have shared their stories. Who can or should you share your story with to pass that light forward?